One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at Kosai.org. One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at Kosai.org.
This Father's Day at Lowe's, score free gifts for the greatest dad. Right now, get a free select DeWalt, Craftsman, or Kobalt tool with purchase of a select battery kit. Plus, get a free Werner 2-foot aluminum ladder when you buy an 8-foot fiberglass ladder. Shop these deals and more this Father's Day at Lowe's. We help, you save. Valid through 6/15 while supplies last. Selection varies by location.
It's all about the macro productions.
What does the goddamn line say, Tony?
Please do not use gendered language.
Then what? I'll be arrested, put in airport jail.
Well, you're going completely sideways, man.
It's a big club, and you ain't in it.
How dare you?
Mr. Speaker, the President of the United States.
I'm Chris Hansen with Dave on NBC.
Jack Mary's Tack Theratrix.
Hi, I'm Spartacus.
Keith Jackson, Sacramento, he, him.
Steven Seagal.
Sex offender guy.
I'm Keith Morris.
This is Muammar Gaddafi.
I'm Rick James, bitch.
Sorting through the lies.
The hijacker's passport was found blocks from the World Trade Center crash site, if you can believe that.
We cannot track $2.3 trillion in transactions.
And uncovering the centuries-long plan for world domination.
Learning about Cuba, having some food.
Let's talk about Chinese people.
Have you ever been in a Turkish prison?
I have
a
I
have sent six of my Libyan missiles to blow up the CS hardware department.
Nothing could be more fun than jumping off a cliff with two German bisexuals.
Oh, you English are so superior, aren't you?
Thank you, comrade.
And now, macroaggressions.
That's what assholes call it.
With your host.
Buddy, I don't know who you are, but you're about to get chlamydia.
Charlie Robinson.
Hey, Whitey, where's your hat?
You want to drop the blame on Charlie and say it's all Charlie's fault.
He was a retard.
I get some goddamn diuretic.
Welcome to Macroaggressions. I'm your host, Charlie Robinson. If you're watching us on Rumble, band.video, vigilante.tv, or you are listening wherever podcasts are served, thank you so much. We appreciate it. We know you have like a million choices out there. I think the last time I checked, you have over 2.5 million choices out there. So I'm glad you found me. If you like the show, please rate it. If you want to connect with me, the website macroaggressions.io is a good place to do that. If you're interested in finding articles about what's going on in this world, naturalblaze.com and activistpost.com are two great resources. Go ahead and bookmark those so that you've got them wherever you need them. We appreciate the assistance of our sponsors. We make sure to curate them with sponsors that actually provide you solutions to problems that you may have. One problem that you've seen is that when you go to buy bath-related items, lotions, toothpaste, soaps, things like that, they're always filled with chemicals. And we know what that'll do to you. It'll absorb right through your skin. If you're looking for a company that is coming at this problem from a different angle, I encourage you to go to vanman.shop. They are the newest sponsors here. We love their products. They're fantastic. If you've got you should take a look. Tallow coconut soap comes in a cool box. It's pink bar soap with a Van stamped on it. It smells good. Vanman vanilla body butter is right here. It's just a little jar that you're going to put on. By the way, ingredients, not a bunch of chemicals. Grass-fed beef tallow, shea butter, olive oil, honey, vanilla oil. That's it. That's it. That's the way it should be. But we've gotten away from that. Tallow and honey balm, they've got that. I'll tell you what. I'll tell you what you need to check out. Check out the tooth powder. Okay, if you're somebody that hates to have fluoride in your toothpaste, have you considered tooth powder? It doesn't have fluoride in it. It's a new way to brush your teeth. It's fantastic. I'm never going back. I'm just never going back after that. So take a look, see what you think. Go to their online store, vanman.shop. Do a little snooping around, see what you find. They have peppermint aloe mouth rinse as well. You can get that over there. So there's a lot going on. If you want to get something for your wife or girlfriend, and you've bought all kinds of things before at other places and she's indifferent to it, take a look at this. There's stuff for men and women, but if you go to vanman.shop, you'll be blown away. Also, let's be honest, they're ideologically aligned with us. They know that the government is run by criminals, and they have to deal with them with regard to getting their products approved. So they're coming at it from a different direction, and of course, we certainly do appreciate that. Go to vanman.shop, and if you find something that you like, the discount code on your way out the door is MACRO. And also, well, Christian Yordanov has been helping me with my health for the last 2 years. I'm in great health. I'm glad that I am. I work very hard to make sure that I stay in great health. But I know that, you know, life happens and things get put off and people find themselves not feeling great. If you are somebody who is dealing with digestive problems or your energy is lower than normal, you can't sleep. Your hormones are kind of out of balance. You're real high one day and real low the next day. This is exactly what Christian Yordanov deals with. This is his specialty. If you're somebody facing these issues, first of all, you're not alone. Second of all, there are solutions to this. And if you meet up with Christian, you can talk to him for free. Tell him what your situation is. If you work with him, tell him that I sent you. And what he'll do is he'll give you a metabolics test. You can find out what's going on inside your body. I've had a couple of them, an organic acids test and this other one, metabolics, I think. And it's real enlightening. I mean, you would never in a million years be able to tell that your magnesium is low, right? It's just not something that would come up on your radar, but this test will show what's going on. If you have some sort of issue in your gut, if you have candida, if you have some sort of problems in your body as a whole, a lot of it comes out of your gut. And again, it's hard to diagnose exactly what that is, but these tests do that. And they allow you to tailor make a program that is specific for you so that you're not just guessing about what may or may not be happening inside your body. So look, you got to be proactive with your health. You just have to. Right. And nobody's coming to save you except yourself. So if you've decided that this is the year that you're going to take your health into your own hands, good for you. And you may need some help with that. And if you're interested, go talk to Christian, or at least go to livelongerformula.com and read up about it and see what you think, see what his program is. He's in Portugal. You don't need to be in Portugal. I'm in the States, and I've been working with him for years. So you can do this remotely. It's easy to do. It's just a matter of if you're ready to do it. And if you are, he's the guy to talk to. So go to livelongerformula.com and tell him I sent you. He'll be happy to talk to you. Well, it's funny because we're going to be talking about health. We're going to be talking about mental health. And the wheels have been falling off of the American general public. And part of it has been kind of funny to watch, if we're being entirely honest, because these people were hysterical to begin with. Things have not gone well. You know, remember in 2016 when Trump came around the first time and he cracked open the heads of a large segment of the population? They've never recovered. They've never recovered. And it's not my opinion that they've never recovered. I have statistics that prove it, as I do. So what we'll do is we'll talk about this. We'll talk about why America lost its mind. We'll identify what's happening, what's the cause of this, and there's plenty of them. It's not just one thing. There's a lot going around. We'll talk about the role of social media in this. It plays a huge part. And we'll wrap up with a little bit of advice on how to position yourself so that you don't have to deal with this insanity. But the mental health crisis in America has reached astounding rates. And if I'm being honest, it doesn't show any signs of slowing down. There's nothing out there that makes me feel like, oh, well, if we could only get past this next part, then everything will be fine. I don't feel that way. I think that there are some people who have gone off the deep end and are never coming back. And, you know, it's not just some lunatic talking to his shoe and screaming into the wind, right? This is happening in small towns as well as the middle of Times Square. So it's not that it's limited to, well, you know, that's New York City, big city folks. And sometimes, you know, there's a lot of people in there and sometimes you get a defective one. No, that's not what that is. Sure, there are people having mental breakdowns in New York City on a daily basis. I was walking down the street and locked eyes with a guy who was in the process of shooting heroin. He was sitting on the ground shooting heroin. I looked at, I had a camera with me too. It's sad. I mean, I'm not, you know, I mean, I'm really not trying to dunk on the guy. I mean, clearly if you're sitting on a street corner in broad daylight slamming heroin in New York City, the wheels have come off your experiment. So I hope those people get their act together. But I just, my point is that it's not limited to just big cities, because you can go out into the middle of Wichita, Kansas and find somebody who's having a breakdown. And it's probably on TikTok. They probably had the decency, I say, to film themselves. Because if you're going to break down, you might as well, you know, give the rest of us a little show while you're at it. Unfortunately, I think that I'm kidding about that. But unfortunately, I think a lot of people have normalized their mental illness by broadcasting it on social media. We'll get to that in the second half of the show where we talk about the results of that. But, you know, some of this is biological factors. We could call that natural insanity, if you will. But a lot of this is not. You know, schizophrenia happens in your early 20s. I had a friend of mine from high school who was always a very, he was a tough guy to deal with in high school. I liked him, but he was, if there was a problem with his group of friends, he'd be the one that would take command of it. You know, he was an alpha type of guy all through high school. And I connected up with him about, it must've been in our 10 year reunion. And I did not know what had happened to him in the months between that. And I saw him and I just had a normal conversation. Hey man, how's it going? Oh, good to see you. Yeah. And we started talking about, you know, the high school days, as you do at a reunion. And I remember he said to me, I wish we could just go back to the old days. And I was like, yeah. He goes, you know, like it used to be. And I was like, yeah. He's like, you know, like the Simpsons. And I was like, wait, what? You lost me there. What are you talking about? And I continued my conversation with him. And about halfway through, I realized, oh, he's unwell. He wasn't drinking. So it wasn't like he was drunk, making no sense. He was just not himself. He was not right. And I was concerned about him. And so I talked to some of his friends, the guys that were maybe like a little closer circle to him. And I said, hey man, is everything all right with him? And they said, no, first of all, he joined the military and then got a bunch of shots. And, you know, listen, that may or may not have a, you know, play a role in this. It does for some people. I can't say if it did with him. But they said, he's schizophrenic. And I went, oh, now I understand. Now I get it. So it doesn't always come with sirens and neon signs that say, I'm crazy. Tread lightly, or be careful, or cut me some slack, or anything like that. it's hard to know. And he wasn't crazy before, and there's no reason for me to assume that he would be until I started to look into schizophrenia, and you realize, oh, this happens like in your late teens, early 20s. And apparently that's when it happened for him. And it is a sliding scale, of course. I mean, you could be the guy standing on the street corner yelling at a telephone pole, for sure. You could be that. But you could also be a guy that holds down a real job and has breaks every now and then. And that it's sort of a little easier to disguise. So everybody's working through their own trip, you know, and I'm not trying to give people with mental illness a hard time, but because there is a legitimate amount of, like, I would just call it natural insanity that happens out there, maybe triggered by other things. Maybe, you know, he went into the military and those shots did trigger it, or maybe he just, you know, spun the roulette wheel of mental health and it landed on schizophrenia and he's the guy that got it and the rest of us didn't. I don't know. But there is that component. And then there is a different subset of insanity, and that is self-induced. And I would describe this as insanity in a pill, where you are taking pharmaceuticals, and, you know, maybe you start off with one because you've got one issue, but then that issue turns into a secondary issue, and then you've got to take another pill for that. And so now you're on two pills. And as a result of those two things, and maybe even the medication that you're taking, a third thing sprouts out, right? So now you got to take a pill for that. But if you take that pill, it interferes with the first pill that you were taking. And so now there's a fourth pill that makes it so the first and third don't interact improperly. And now you're on four pills for three issues, and you're on the treadmill. And that is happening to a lot of people. And it's by design. That's the most devious component of this, is that the pharmaceutical industry is very well aware of this. It's part of their business model. They want you on as many drugs as they can get you on. And have we tested that drug A works with drug Z? And if they are, you know, combined together in the mind of this person, are they going to work well? Well, maybe, maybe not. I mean, have they all been tested? No. To see how this interacts with that one? No. And do the doctors make sure that you're not on eight different medications before they prescribe you the ninth one? No, they do not. So they're playing Russian roulette with your brain by adding on additional pharmaceuticals that that are making you crazy and may actually kill you. And to remind people, number one cause of death in America is heart disease. Number two cause of death is cancer. And number three is the medical industry. And that incorporates big pharma as well. And in the United States this year, there will be 5 billion prescriptions filled. 5 billion, not 5 million, 5,000 million. So this is alarming. And it's not necessarily what you think in terms of these pills are for these aged people, these pills are for older adults, the ADHD medications are only for kids. No, no, no. None of that's true. Women 35 to 64 are getting prescribed Adderall and Ritalin at an alarming rate. 1.7 million women that are middle-aged, or I don't know what you'd call 64, almost old, almost middle-aged to almost a senior citizen, 1.7 million of them are on pharmaceutical speed. That's what Adderall and Ritalin is. Let's not hide behind the brand names. It's pharmaceutical crystal meth. And the idea, the logic behind this, you have a child who can't sit straight, is going to sit in his chair and spin out all day long because he desperately wants to be out twirling in the grass somewhere and not sitting at a desk. I can't blame the kid. You find that in some certain circumstances, either the parent, the teacher, or both want to medicate this kid for being a kid. Some kids have issues. Some kids are just kids and they don't really have an issue. The issue is they're sitting in a boring classroom listening to some teacher who's on their 30th year of doing this and is mentally checked out, and the kids have checked out too. But the idea that you're going to give a kid who can't sit still speed is crazy. I don't understand, like, energy plus more energy equals compliance. How do you take an energetic kid, give him a pharmaceutical concoction of speed, and help him concentrate? How does that work? Well, for all of you out there who have been diagnosed with ADHD, attention deficit hyperactivity disorder, the doctor who coined the term that I can't even remember these days, on his deathbed said it was fake, said he made it up, said it wasn't real. The doctor who discovered air quotes ADHD said it was all bullshit. And the reason why he said it was all bullshit is because, in fact, it is all bullshit. It is just another revenue stream for the pharmaceutical industry. Did you know that for the average American, not me, I am on zero prescription drugs, but the average American is prescribed 15 drugs a year. 15 different pharmaceutical drugs every year. That's the average. So if I'm at zero, that means there's somebody out there who's at 30. This is a problem. This is a huge problem. 2.6 million Americans prescribed opioids were also being prescribed benzos at the same time. Now, if you're a doctor and you are about to prescribe your patient opioids, you need to check and make sure that they are not taking additional drugs. And yet 2.6 million of them are taking benzodiazepines as well. This will kill you. This will kill you. First of all, coming off benzos too quickly, that will kill you. If you get addicted to those and you get on a cycle where you've been on it for 6 years straight, and you try to come off, that's why Jordan Peterson went to Russia to detox off benzos for 6 months, because you cannot come off of them right all at the same time. Your body will shut down and you will die. So you have to do it gradually. So you've got people that are taking benzos and they're getting prescribed opioids on top of it. And not just a few of them, 2.6 million people. Now, there are a grand total of 28.4 million Americans that are currently being prescribed opioids. Now, I get it if you just had a surgery and you're in the hospital and you tore your ACL and, you know, they've put you back together and you're, you know, starting that process. I know people that have gone through that, and I saw my old roommate after he tore his knee up and saw him when the opioids had kicked in, man. And it was like talking to a Bugs Bunny, you know. It was a cartoon land for him, which is fine when you're coming up, when you're a day out of your knee surgery and your knee is blowing up like a balloon. That's fine. But what's the excuse for the 28.4 million Americans that are prescribed opioids? Did they all blow their knees out? Or are they just hooked? We've got pill mills in Florida. We've got the Sackler family, destroyers of culture, Of course, never going to see the inside of a prison cell for what they've done to America, though they should. Pay a fine, walk away, make a couple billion dollars. Who cares, right? Who cares? 25% of Americans 12 years old and older are currently on illegal drugs. 1 in 4. 1 in 4, which means that when you're out in your car driving around, the chances of some guy who is smoking crack, huffing paint, cooking crystal meth in the backseat of the car. I mean, you are taking your life into your own hands just by being out in the general public when 1 in 4 people are on illegal drugs. I'm not talking about some guy smoked a joint before he went to the grocery store. I'm talking about a guy who did an 8-ball of cocaine last night and has been drinking all day, decides he's going to get in his car and drive by a school. You know what I mean? 13% of Americans are on antidepressants. 13%, huh? Damn, man. That's 1 in 8 people. We have to examine the causes of this. Societal pressure, pressure of needing to succeed, wanting to succeed. I don't know. You tell me why everybody's so unhappy. Probably the television. You don't look like this model. You're not rich like this guy. You don't have the perfect house like this person. You don't have the perfect kids. I mean, you make you feel bad about yourself every day. You turn on the TV and it's just ads making you feel like shit. Or you got to watch the Kardashians and see their glamorous life for being a bunch of whores. You know, oh, I'd love to have $100 million for being a stupid bitch myself. How is that? Well, not for you. You are stuck working at Wendy's. Get up, go to work. Boy, I want to kill myself. Gee, I wonder why. Well, 1 in 8 Americans are on antidepressants. This is up 65% just since the, 2000. It's not getting any better. That's why I have fear about this, is that it's accelerating. White females are most likely to take them. And an alarming statistic is those people who are on antidepressants, 25% of them have been on them for over a decade. So there's no finish line. If you take these SSRI drugs, which are the common denominator at all school shootings, you'll find SSRI drugs. Well, you'll see a kid on SSRIs who's getting blamed for the shooting. Let me rephrase that. It's probably some, outsourced kill squad that's doing the actual shooting, like in Parkland. But they'll blame it on Nicholas Cruz. And then they'll say, well, what kind of pills is he on? He's on SSRIs. Oh, well, that's got to be the culprit. Well, yeah, probably. Not that I think he did the shooting, but in a lot of these, we see people going off the deep end. Selective serotonin reuptake inhibitors are a huge problem. And 11% of all Americans are on them. So that should not set your mind at ease to know that 1 out of every 9 people are taking these drugs. And remember, 1 out of every 8 people are on antidepressants. So 45 million prescriptions every year for SSRI drugs just in the United States. 45 million. It's a lobotomy and a pill. It turns you into, well, it turns you into something other. You're not yourself. You know, you do things that are beyond your control. I mean, have you heard the stories of what happens with people who take Ambien? That's the nighttime sleep drug. Side effects may include, there are some funny ones. I mean, there's some bad ones, right? Like waking up in the middle of the night, murdering your whole family. Probably not a good side effect. But there are side effects like waking up in the middle of the night and making yourself an entire turkey dinner which has happened before, which is kind of funny, or waking up in the middle of the night, getting in your car, driving while you're totally zonked out to a casino and gambling away a lot of your money. Living in Las Vegas, I know that that has happened before, and that has been used as an excuse to try and go after the casino. Your Honor, I was out of my mind on Zoloft or Ambien or something, because it really happens. 90 million prescriptions for antidepressants. And this is a $20 billion a year marketplace, is antidepressants. 90 million prescriptions for antidepressants. By the way, that was pre-COVID, those numbers. They've only gotten worse. Let's talk about sleep, because Americans are not sleeping well. This is part of it. This is a huge problem. 1 in 10 women are taking sleeping pills in the United States. 1 in 10. Weight of the world, keeping you up at night. Stress of how you're going to pay your bills. Worrying about that asshole boss that wants to, grab your ass. Or, whatever it is, it's women are having a hard time falling asleep. 9 million prescriptions for sleeping pills too, not just the over-the-counter ones, but the Ambien types. And those side effects are so unpredictable. You should read the side effects. There's one that is really funny, and it's an anti-smoking drug called Chantix, Chantix, I think. And if you want to do something, I did this a couple years ago, you can look up Chantix dreams or Chantix nightmares or something, and you will find, I found this blog and people were contributing to it, and honestly it was hysterical. They were describing their dreams. You would have these really vivid technicolor dreams at night where it was like an acid trip, and people would wake up in the next morning, with their hands around their wife's neck, like trying to choke her out and everything, because they thought they were still in the dream. Like really crazy stuff. My point is that if you're not eating well and you're not feeling well, you're probably not sleeping well. The average American gets less than 7 hours of sleep. You need more sleep. 50 million, anywhere from 50 million to 70 million Americans have a sleep disorder. So it's more than just I got a bad night's sleep, I was stressed out last night. It's I never get a good night's sleep. And what does that do? What does that do to your mental health? I don't know. Hard to measure that. I'll tell you what it does to your physical health. It leads to diabetes, obesity, memory loss, high blood pressure, and early death. Could you imagine dying early because you couldn't go to sleep? So it's a real problem, one that needs to get on people's radar. If you're not sleeping well, you probably have underlying issues. This kind of leads me back to where we started with Christian Yordanov, but if you're not sleeping well, this is a fixable problem. That's the good news, is that a lot of these things are fixable. So I guess we have to sort of take that as could be worse, So, but you got to get honest about it. And for 70 million Americans that can't sleep at night. Now again, you wake up the next morning, you're not feeling great. You get in a car, you're scatterbrained, you drive through an intersection because you're not paying attention because you're half asleep, or maybe you're doped up on, maybe your Ambien hasn't fully worn off or whatever. You get in a car accident and kill a family in a minivan, right? This is what I'm talking about. This is bad luck if you're the family in the minivan, but it's also preventable too. We don't have to be living this way. This is not the way the rest of the world lives, by the way. This addiction to pharmaceutical pills is fueling this insanity in America. And it's part of it is cultural. We want it now. We want a quick fix. We want a solution in a pill. I want to go to the doctor, say, Doc, I've got this wrong with me. And the doc says, oh, what you need is this pill. Boom, that pill, problem fixed. That's what we want. And that's what we've been sold. But that's not what you get. The fast-talking guy reads off all the side effects for a reason. And the side effects are out of control. When we're talking about people losing their minds, we also have to discuss the COVID vaccines. We simply cannot, we do not live in a world any longer that doesn't have the ramifications of those vaccines. This is our new reality. And with that, you need to understand some statistics behind it, just so you know what you're working with. 70% of Americans took the jab. 70%. So we are talking about well over 200 million people. You are, no matter where you go, you are surrounded by people who have injected themselves with an experimental rush to market gene therapy, which did not clear stage 3 trials, killed all the animals it was injected into, and has been unleashed on the general public with untold side effects. So 70% took the jab. A third of those people took the boosters too. And if you took 2 shots and 2 boosters, your world is different. Your mind is different. I am watching this in my own life. It's noticeable. Not me, of course, but I am watching this with some people in my life. The change is staggering. These people are different now. And look, I'm not a doctor, so I can't give you the ins and outs of what is happening. I've talked to some doctors who have a pretty good idea. But it is becoming undeniable that people who have had all of the shots are behaving in a way that leads people close to them to think that they have had their soul detached from their body. That they aren't the same person they used to be. They get angry very fast. They're unable to focus on important things, but they're completely enthralled with unimportant things. They want to relitigate stupid shit that you've been over and over again, you know, through. And they fixate on nonsense. So if you're experiencing this, just so you know, you're not alone. There's a lot of people that are feeling this. So we're getting secondary effects from the people who have taken the vaccines. You know, the ones that threatened us, that said that we were putting them in danger. Well, now you're annoying us. Now you're burdening us. We have to now take care of you because you've taken a bunch of shots and you can't remember where you put your car keys. Or you didn't put the milk back in the refrigerator, you put it in the cabinet because the wheels are full, or you left the burners on the stove and you're not cooking anymore. You know what I mean? Like, now it's our, this is your fault, but it's our problem. And I don't have a whole lot of sympathy for the people, I'll be honest with you, because I remember them screaming at me for me being the problem, for not taking the shots, and for how dare you not put the herd in above the individual. And well, lady, it ain't happening with me. I got news for you. You got the wrong guy. I will always prioritize myself over the herd because they are the herd. Physical side effects from the jabs, psychological side effects, combined with propaganda and fear, have broken people. They've broken them. And I remember I had my car, I got in my car one day, this is a long time ago, and it wouldn't go very fast. And I was like, what is this? It felt like it was, it's an automatic transmission, but it felt like I was stuck in like second gear, you know? And I took it into the dealership and I was like, hey, my car is acting totally weird. Like I can't go fast and you know, lights are, you know, and he says, oh, your car is in limp mode. And I was like, what is that? He says, well, if you have a real kind of, if you have an issue with your car that's like potentially pretty bad, it can throw it into limp mode so that it's good enough for you to get yourself to a place where you can get it fixed. But you're not going to, it's not going to be optimal. You're just going to be running in second gear. And I remember that thinking that these shots put a lot of people into limp mode. It turned them into NPCs. If they weren't already, I mean, you're sort of NPC adjacent if you're lining up to take a vaccine for a so-called virus with a 99.98% survivability rate. You know, you're already probably an NPC adjacent. But I look at the people and I just keep thinking they're in limp mode. They're just trying to get to the dealership. If they're even trying to get, you know, if they even notice it. And Deagle might be off by a few years. You know, this is the year, 2015 to 2025. This is a year where they said we were going to have, you know, by this year, the numbers would be down. Population numbers would be down roughly 70% across the Western world. Well, they're a few years off, but these people are ticking time bombs. And they're not going to make it. They won't make it 10 years. So I don't know. I don't know if Deagle's figures were ambitious, if they were early, you know, if they got the dates wrong by a couple of years. But I envision a scenario in which these heavily vaccinated people, they just don't make it much longer. mRNA is making these people the first transhumans, essentially. And first generation operating systems are always buggy. They never work very well. You always have to get, you know, Windows 98, you know, not Windows 95. Windows 95 is kind of buggy. So you don't want to get the first version of the software. You don't want to get the first version of the mRNA technology. You don't want to get any of it. But you certainly don't want to get the first version. It's like buying a new model of a car. Like the first year of the new model of the car looks good. It's a new model. Come on in and get it. And you go, oh boy, you know, the brakes were always kind of off on it or the alignment was always kind of funky. And then the next year, they fix those issues because they see them as well. And they go, oh, okay, we'll give you a better version. So the people who took the first version of the mRNA through the COVID shots, that's an operating system that is going to have some flaws in it, for sure. Vaccidents are still happening. Blackouts, you know, there's a term for them. Cliff High was calling them vaccidents back in 2020 before the vaccine was even out. He was saying, wait for the vaccine. When it comes out, you're going to feel there's going to be a bunch of people that are going to take it. And then you're going to interact with them in your day-to-day, you know, dealings. You're going to go to the subway and get yourself a, you know, order yourself a sandwich. And the guy will be making the sandwich. And halfway through, he's making the sandwich. He'll be like, I'm sorry, what did you want on this again? Just little things like that. Small little things, you know, in the process of going to the grocery store, can't find their keys, you know, things like that, real small things, nothing major. Or light turns green, you forget to go, or light turns red, you forget to stop, or whatever, you know. So things like that were sort of laid out in advance by Cliff High, which he was correct. And now what do we see? Accidents with people blacking out and they can't remember what happened. It's a vaccident. We know what this is. Your brain isn't functioning well. It's just what happens. The we still see that we see the push for the MMR vaccines happening right around the same time RFK Jr. gets in, right? We start to see, there's a big measles outbreak. Oh, really? And? Well, everybody's got to get vaccinated. Oh, well, I thought everybody was vaccinated for that. So why is there a big measles outbreak? Because the media decided that there was. What about graphene oxide? You know, what about that? I had a conversation with David Icke about that, about the magnetic fields and the frequencies that factor into all of this. You know, that's something we have to consider because it's in some of those shots, not every one of them, but it's in some of them. And what's it doing in there? And what happens when you crank up a frequency around it and you get it to assemble itself? Okay. That's unusual. Again, it goes back to this operating system, this transhumanism mRNA operating system that you've injected into yourself. You are other than now. You are a transhuman. Let's move on to social media because it's breaking kids. I mean, it's not great for adults either. But for kids, the numbers are in and they're staggering. U.S. teens spend 4.8 hours per day on screens and social media. Almost 5 hours a day. If you are curious as to what platforms they are using, YouTube, TikTok, and Instagram account for 87% of the social media that kids are getting. 37% of kids admit that they use screens and social media more than 5 hours per day. 5 hours. This is fueling a mental health crisis. These screens are not good for you. I mean, we all have them. You know, you have a cell phone in your pocket, you have a laptop computer or something. You got to get your work done. You got to sit down and do that. And you are in front of a screen. So you can't avoid it completely here. You can minimize it. And you can definitely get yourself educated on the dangers of the screen. Not just like, oh, it sucked 4 hours out of your day and you didn't get anything done. That's bad enough. But when you understand that Steve Jobs, who was the creator of the iPad right before he passed away, is on the record saying, I wouldn't give it to my kids. I don't want them on it. So there is something going on there. There is a blue screen, blue light component to this that is not healthy for the mind. American Psychological Association did a study on how long kids were on social media. Now, we're not talking about screens here. Social media only, which is on a screen, but I'm saying it's not limited to this. So, 23% of kids said that they were on it on social media for less than 2 hours. Roughly the same size, 26% said that they use social media anywhere between 2 and 4 hours a day. And 14% of the kids that they talked to said that they are on social media between 4 and 5 hours every day. This is alarming. And what do you get on social media? I mean, I'm on it. I'm on X. That's the only one I really use. I post stuff on Facebook, but I rarely check it. I have 470,000 followers for activist post on Facebook. I'll put a post up there and get 12 likes, maybe. So we're throttled. There's no point. But, you know what you get served up? You get served up porn and people fighting with each other, which is great. That's what you get for kids. Awesome. That's the worldview that you want them to have in their head, is that it's either somebody's getting into a fight at a Kentucky Fried Chicken or there's some OnlyFans whores out there showing their ass. That's it. So, I mean, I don't know how you could spend 4 or 5 hours doing that. I guess I do. I guess I do. But you know what? One of the things that this is creating in the aftermath is short attention spans. And you see that it's not only creating short attention spans, but then they're moving to that with TikTok and these YouTube shorts and whatnot. The attention span is getting shorter for the average person. Like if you can't boil it down to a minute or less, then they're not interested in it. It's also short circuiting the dopamine receptors in your brain. That's what this is doing as well on a scientific level. That's probably what Steve Jobs is talking about. You know, when they design this, it's one thing if there's a technical side to it, there's a hardware, there's a software, and then there's a psychological side. Because they understand that in part of it, it's kind of blended together. Like they know that when you're scrolling, when you're scrolling that action, what that does to your brain. They brought in psychologists and, you know, they've role played this at Tavistock. They understand what it does. They're trying to make a sticky application. They're trying to make something that keeps you there as long as possible. And in doing so, they have educated themselves about the scientific components. That's why they have all this technology that'll follow where your eyeballs go. They want to see what you're looking at when you're looking at the screen. That information is extremely valuable to them. Might not mean much to you, or you might not even notice that you're doing it, but they notice it. They keep that information and use it to customize these programs to make sure that people are addicted to it. And they're doing a great job. You've got hypnotic states, certain brainwaves functions that it interferes with, drops you down into a theta brainwave level where you're easier to program. Great. Great for them, not so great for us. You think you're online looking at TikTok or something. Next thing you know, you're getting bombarded with subliminal messages that are way more effective because your brain has been put into limp mode, essentially. And, your blue light is bad right before bed. That's why Christian Yordanev will tell you, you got to get these sunglasses, these red glasses he wears at night if he's on his computer. And all that sounds like, really? Seriously? Is that what we're doing? We have to do that now? It's like, well, no, you don't have to. But if you understand this stuff, you can take some preventative actions to make sure that you're not bombarded by it, or make sure that your kids aren't on their iPad or cell phone right before they go to bed. It's not good for them. The brain is still forming up until age 25. So with that in mind, you have to be very mindful of what this is doing to your kids. Let's talk about crazy Karens. They're fun to mess with. It's always the same. There's a type. It's always overeducated, liberal white women. That's who it is. You may find some, may find a black Karen every now and then, but they're rare. It's mostly white women. It's my people doing this stuff. I apologize. Many of them are fueled with MSNBC facts, air quotes facts, plus a couple of booster shots, and they're just out there saving the world. You know, their lives are fine, so fine that they need to inject themselves into your life to fix your problems, because they've obviously got it all figured out. Righting the world's wrongs by standing up for the powerless. Powerless didn't ask you to stand up for them. Leave these people alone. Come in there and go, you are being oppressed. I feel so bad for you. You are being oppressed. You just don't know how bad you're being oppressed. The black guy's like, I'm not oppressed at all. I was doing fine until you injected yourself into my situation. Get out of here with it. Crazy Karen. There's a lot of cluster B personality disorder happening there, which is characterized by being dramatic, overly emotional, and unpredictable thinking. When you see the Karen videos, is that not what we're seeing? Very dramatic, way overly emotional, and unpredictable thinking. That's cluster B personality disorder. That's what a lot of these people have. It's mostly women. I'm going to pick on the women here because, we're calling them Karens here for a reason. I mean, there's Kens out there too, But they don't get on TikTok. Heavily prescribed medications. I bet if you were to sit these people down and take a look at their prescription track record, it's probably just a cornucopia of SSRI drugs, sleep assistance drugs, heavy ones, and a fair amount of bad television on top of that. It's a Jerry Springer generation that has grown up and wants to fight you in the middle of aisle five because you're going the wrong direction down the aisle, or maybe you don't have your mask on and they want to lecture you and scream at you, or maybe throw grocery store items at you. This is hilarious, of course. Let's be fair. It is funny to watch this when you see it on you know, when you see videos of it. And I will always default to funny. So Karens are funny. But you have to ask why. Why is this happening? Why is this a thing? We've weaponized snitching, of course, with the see something, say something of the COVID era where, you know, too many people in my neighbor's driveway. I wonder what they're doing over there. There's too many cars. They're probably having a super spreader. But you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to go over next door and I'm going to give them a piece of my mind. I'm going to inject myself into this situation. And I'm going to make it all better. I'm going to go over there and rat them out or call the police or whatever. Definitely not going to mind my own fucking business. Can't do that. Certainly must inject myself into other people's problems. Let's get this person fired from their job for disagreeing with me. Let's do that. That seems like a reasonable thing to do, you know. Always with the current thing. Still over there standing with Ukraine. Dutifully. No ability to examine any of the rhetoric to find out if it was true, false, or whatever. Doing what they're told. Playing the victim card, always. They attack you. They freak out at you. You stand up for yourself, and then they fall on the ground and go, hey, murdered. I was murdered. I just always go to Reno 911, where he's like, I was murdered. You weren't murdered. You're fine. Main character syndrome. You know, all that stuff. This is mental illness. This is what we talk about when I say that America has lost its mind, I'm not kidding. Now, there's ways to fix it, but it is currently lost. It is currently unavailable. Spray painting swastikas on your own bagel shop and then claim, I'm a victim. I was, they came out to get me. It's like, well, reporter, detectives determined that the person spray painted the swastika on their own bagel shop. It's like, oh, why am I not surprised? I'm never surprised when I hear this. And it's every single time. The, one of the fun components of these Karens is when they get racist. Like the latent racist Karen comes out at some point, you know, like MAGA Karen, like, I want these illegals deported immediately. It's normally leftists, but you're starting to get some of the MAGA people are losing their minds too, because they took the jabs as well. It is 70%. So it can't just be one group, one red team or blue team. It's both. Both teams are damaged by this. I think Trump is a catalyst. I think he makes some of these people into, he's a trigger. And, but the latent racist Karen is my favorite Karen, the one who's losing the argument and then just goes straight to the N word. And you're like, oh shit. Okay. We're going to do that. What about airplane freakout Karen? What about that one? It was cute when it was that motherfucker ain't real. In the back. I mean, that was funny when that lady melted down. And she wasn't even so much a Karen. It's just somebody that was having a day. But like, what's up with the stripping down naked and walking through the aisles of the airport or the airplane or freaking out? I saw yesterday was a lady got totally naked at Dallas Airport and started, was in like the concourse area and was like running back and forth and everything. Could you not have your mental breakdown on my flight, please? Or the guy that's like, I got to get out of here. I got to get out of here. I got to open the emergency door. You do that on my flight, I will take my belt off, put it around your neck, and I will choke you until you are dead. Okay. I'm not going to allow you at 30,000 feet to try and open the emergency door, not without us doing something about it. So they've normalized this. They clearly don't want you flying. That goes without saying. Hat tip to Sam Tripoli on that one too. He was pretty early on screaming this. I'm in agreement with him. They don't want you flying. They want you to see this insanity. They want you to see the people having a meltdown. And to be fair, there's plenty of reasons to melt down at the airport. They've made the traveling experience unbearable with the gropings and the searchings and taking your shoes off and canceling your flights and rerouting you to different places and DEI hires and who the fuck is working maintenance and why is this engine going out and why doesn't the landing gear go down? I mean, they're trying to give you plenty of reasons to not travel. Let's move on. Let's talk about, I also have to ask the question, was Yuri Bezmenov right about the demoralization of America? It's almost complete. People are snapping. The pressure is cranked up so high that people just can't take it anymore. And I would sort of classify the pressure, and I would break it up into two groups: social pressure and financial pressure. And they add up. Social pressure. Focus on nonsense. Make everything stupid. Trump is why your life sucks. Abortion is a human right. Diversity, inclusion, and equity agendas. These sorts of things are socially are making people feel like they're breaking down. And financially, it's a different sort of pressure, but that would be, make it impossible for people to buy a home or inflate the currency during COVID-1984. Create 80% of all new dollars. Just invent them out of thin air. Add that additional pressure on everybody. There's money everywhere, but it doesn't buy what it used to buy. Squandering your tax dollars on bullshit and wars and make you watch it, right? You got to watch that. You got to watch as Biden brings the 10 millionth illegal across the border. And you know that your tax dollars are going to pay for it in some way, shape, or form. What does that do to you? This demoralization financially. Social Security is a Ponzi scheme. We know it. People that are collecting Social Security, they ought to know it. People who are my age, who are early 50s, and saying, when do we get our Social Security? You better know it especially. You better not be planning on having any of that. Well, what does that do to you? I'm paying into this Ponzi scheme and I know I'm not going to get any of it. How does that impact your mentality? Your mental health, your outlook for the future. Pretty hard to be optimistic when you know that that the government that you live under will do anything and everything in its power to extract money from you and then take that money and spend it on the most foolish things that they can find. Educating Afghani farmers about transgender issues, you know, testing to see what the effects of cocaine on quail to see if it makes them more sexually active. I'm not making these things up. These are real things. By the way, Hypocrisy, second edition is out. It's all in that book. 400 footnotes as well to back up the insanity. Get the audiobook if you're interested. Hypocrisy, surviving in a world of cultural double standards. The cultural double standards are there to make you feel like you're going insane and to deteriorate and whittle away at what's left of your good mental health. You know, you'll own nothing and be happy. That's what they tell us. That's what the World Economic Forum is telling us. So when we ask the question, was Yuri right about the demoralization campaign, the ideological subversion of a nation without firing a shot? The answer is he was damn right. Go watch those old videos of him with Ed Griffin. Mission accomplished. Let's talk about poor parenting. It's nothing new. There's always been shitty parents. We know that. But it's accelerating. And the parenting component had always been the fail-safe to keep your, you know, if you want to make sure that your kids grow up the right way, you've got to have strong parents. And as the family is broken apart in pushing the women into the workforce, and that has a sort of knockdown effect of like, adds to increased tax revenue because there's more people working, but it takes both parents out of the home, and this child is more susceptible to being raised by the state or by television or whatever. That is very tough to quantify, but it definitely impacts society. Poor parenting is, I guess you could, you know, you would frame it as weak enforcement of rules create a lack of respect. If you're a parent that doesn't have any rules in your house, your kids are going to grow up to be they could grow up to be anarchists, which would be fantastic, because anarchy means, it doesn't mean no rules, it means no rulers. The idea that if you're a home and your kids have no rules, that'll probably be a problem, you know? But if you let the state raise them and the state sets the rules, like in schools, then you've got a new set of problems. So the parenting component of this is huge. Now, I'm not talking about the mental illness of parents, because they've got their own mental illness, but I'm talking about how do we prevent this from continuing on into the next generation? Got to have some sort of solutions. The parents need to jump in and get involved with their kids. And they need to be mindful of things like poor nutrition, government schools, how many vaccines have you given your kids? And are you an iPad dad who just parents by device? Hey, you know, good to see you back home from school. Here's your iPad. Get out of my way. You know, I've had a hard day at the office. I don't want to talk to you. Kids don't want to work. This new batch, this new generation, they don't really want to work. They don't want to drive. That's the weirdest thing for me. You don't want to drive? You don't want to learn how to drive? I just don't really care. You want to go out? Not really. You don't even want to go out with your buddies and go get drunk at some guy's. You don't even want to do that. You don't even want to do the stuff you're not supposed to do. No motivation. It's been like totally stripped out of them. You know, there's also, I think that when you're talking about keeping people's mental health on track, you got to educate them about the realities of the world as well. You have to educate them about money. If you don't, you're going to put your kids into a debt trap that will lead to further demoralization. Some of this is preventable. Some of it, you know, you can't do anything about, like my friend, you know, with the schizophrenia. Like, you know, it's just random luck of the draw, maybe. I mean, it might have been vaccine related. I don't know. But some people get it, some people don't. Not much you can do about that, I suppose. But to the extent that you can supervise your children. You can do all the things that you're supposed to do, like love your kids and tell them that you love them and give them a good foundation so that when they are adults, when they don't have you around, you don't need to be there as a helicopter parent. You've installed with them a good operating system and that, you know, things will come up, but you trust that they'll be in a position to figure it out. But putting kids on ADHD drugs early on while their brain is forming, that is not a solution to the problem. I'm sorry. If you're a parent that's been talked into that, you need to do additional research into what you are doing to your kids. You are screwing with their brain chemistry at a time when their brain is supposed to be developing. That has repercussions. You're tired of getting calls because your kid won't sit still in his desk. Maybe your kid doesn't learn that way. Maybe it's not your kid. Maybe it's the system. Maybe your kid is showing you signs that they're incompatible with the current system. That's fine. Hell, we should all be incompatible with the current system on some level. But just immediately putting them on brain-altering crystal meth is not a solution to this problem. In fact, it perpetuates it. They'll never get off this. They will be one of the people on 15 prescription medications or 30. All right. Let's wrap it up with this. Considering the topic of this is that America's lost its mind, you know, and we're talking about some solutions for this. Some of it is not all chemical. Let's not forget about your typical run-of-the-mill stupid person, okay? They are literally everywhere, especially airports. And it's a very slippery slope from stupid to crazy. And you can be both, by the way. Crazy people come in all shapes and sizes. Sometimes there's not much you can do. You get stuck with one and you just have to ride it out. But to the extent that you can, stupid people are easier to spot sometimes. Identify them early. Identify the people in your life quickly who are stupid. Factor that into your mental calculations when dealing with them. And there's no reason you shouldn't be doing this. You should be constantly judging the people around you. I know that sounds bad, but if you've got people in your life that are measurably dumb, you need to be taking that into account. There's no reason why you shouldn't do it. It's like insurance against dummies. Okay. And we'll wrap with this. And this should be real common sense to people, but I feel like I need to say it anyway. Improve the quality of your life by removing crazy people from your world. Okay. It feels somehow contagious when you're around them. So just find a way to remove them from your life. We're going to need a clear head going forward. If you like this episode, there's a little button. You can share it with your friends and family. It's easy to do. If you want to connect with me, macroaggressions.io is the website, activistpost.com, naturalblaze.com. Thanks, everybody. I'll talk to you again soon.
One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at Kosai.org. One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at Kosai.org.